Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Yankee Nation podcast presented by Wegman Enterprises, now NYC Sports Nation. I'm Austin Verhill, and along with Tim LaDuca and Nick Giovanelli, today we're going to talk about the COVID-19 outbreak with the Marlins. We have the Yankees series to talk about and some roster moves. So without further ado, how about it?
You're listening to a New York Sports Nation production, enhancing your New York sports fan experience.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk.
So we're going to start with the Marlins COVID-19 outbreak. Now, unlike many people, I actually watched the Marlins this past series. And it's because they were playing the Phillies. I really have taken the Phillies in as, like, a number two team. But, you know, I'm watching them play, and every game, there's less and less of their starters that they were starting. I know Alfaro was one. Jose Urania was supposed to start, and then they scratched him. Garrett Cooper was someone who started in the first game, and then they didn't put in. So I saw, and I knew they were having outbreaks, and they even started the year with more outbreaks than the other teams were. But today, there was like 10 new cases.
Yep.
And it got to the point where they postponed their home opener. Now, the thing is, when they were high single digits in terms of confirmed cases, why were they still going? Because they're the only team that I have heard, unless some come out or some already came out just recently that I haven't heard of, that had multiple new cases since the season started. The only other one that I've heard of is Moustakas with the Reds.
Yep.
That's it. Every other team, I have not heard of any cases, let alone multiple. And
the Yankees and Mets do not have any.
Yankees started with three. I mean, it was, well, started with two, and then Chapman got it. So three in total.
I should say they have no, Yankees and Mets have no new cases.
Yeah, no new ones. And I mean, DJ's back. He was one of them. Sessa's on his way back. And same with Chapman. They both tested negative. They just have to get another one before they can officially come back. So it's interesting because then what comes out is we hear that they decided they were going to play over a team group text message.
Yep.
And listen, I mean, Rob Manfred has been criticized for plenty of things. He really dropped the ball on this. Why is it that the team made that decision and not the MLB? When you have that many new cases, it's an issue. It's not like it's summer camp where they're all in the same place. They were in Philly.
And now they have to stay there.
So I don't know how they're going to respond to this. They're not canceling the season. That's been made clear.
Not yet.
It would take multiple team outbreaks for that to happen, I think. And, I mean, I don't know. What I'm more interested in, not more interested, that makes it sound awful, but what I'm interested in is, what are the Marlins going to do? Granted, they're not chock full of talent, but...
Well, they just picked someone up today.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're going to have to pick up a bunch of people.
And call up everybody.
Yeah.
Puig's might get a job.
With the team he was linked with before.
My question is, was there no protocol when this starts to happen in order to keep the whole team from getting it?
It doesn't seem like it, no. It
doesn't seem like there was a plan.
And, I mean, that's the worst thing. The NBA is playing in a bubble. The NHL is playing in a bubble. Why are we traveling from city to city like nothing's going on?
Well, wasn't there a spike in cases in Arizona and Florida when we had that bubble idea?
Yeah, but I mean, you could do it somewhere else. And even if it's in Florida and there's a spike, the bubble makes it so that still really doesn't matter. Because you're not leaving the bubble.
You shouldn't, anyway.
It was negotiated. This was part of the negotiating.
I don't think that should be a negotiating point.
Yeah, they said, do we want to do a bubble? And everyone said no. I think both sides didn't want to do a bubble.
And I understand why, in terms of, like, if you're in a bubble, you can't be with your family. So I fully understand why you wouldn't. But it's really the safest way to do it. NBA did it, and Lou Williams is... They literally have Lou Williams under investigation right now.
Yeah.
Because they think he broke the bubble. So I'm not saying... I don't think the season's going to get canceled. But I'm not saying I don't see that. I don't see that happening, but I'm not saying I can't ever see that happening.
Here's another, I have another comparison to make. Another extended metaphor.
Go ahead.
I was invited to go to the casino tonight, and I got news of this, of the Marlins, and I don't think I want to go to the casino tonight because I want to watch the games. It's kind of like when your dog is going to be put down, so you know you can go play catch with it out in the yard one more time.
Oh,
I want to just watch these games one more time before they get canceled. I want to enjoy live baseball one more time, because I don't see this season continuing. If maybe not because of the Marlins, but another team outbreak, and that or players might start saying, I don't want to do this. Tim Collins of the Rockies, he just opted out, probably because of all this news coming out. I could see a lot of players starting to opt out, people who are on the verge of doing it, like Trout.
He
was considering opting out. I really hope this is not the end of it, but I don't see us finishing the season. We're gonna have to put the dog down.
See, I don't.
You better go out and play catch with it a few more times.
I'm not that sure about that. It's not a thing in my mind where I'm like, oh no, the season's not gonna be played. But it is being played in an unsafe way, and I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
The no bubble, and people say it's impossible to do the bubble. It's not impossible to do the bubble.
No.
It's, you know what else you can do? Very much possible.
The KBO, they were wearing masks in the dugout. The players were.
I don't know why Clint Frazier's doing it, Didi's doing it. Everyone should be wearing a mask all the time.
The coaches are doing it. And this is the thing, is this is only in our line of vision. We don't know what they're doing in the clubhouse either. But it would at least make me feel better if they wore masks in the dugout and then took it off to go play out in the field.
And you know what I've seen? First basemen do it when there is a runner on first.
Yeah.
But when they're up to bat, it's around their chin. There's people there too.
Yeah.
Like, there's people at the batter's box.
And players wear the masks when it's cold out with no issue.
Yeah. I think it should be 100% mandated.
Didn't Anthony Rizzo like give out hand sanitizer at first base?
Yeah, that was a joke, but not I a swear bad I idea.
No, it's not a bad idea at all.
I really hope we have baseball. I really do, especially because tonight's Cubs game is going to be canceled due to rain, I think. And I'm going to go to the casino, so. But remember how quickly things came down back in March. I bet you if we went back and listened to our episode, the most recent episode before the season was canceled, we would seem oblivious.
Oh, we were.
The thing is, I don't want to be right about this. I need, like, we've been texting in the group message all sappy, like, man, I miss this stuff. I miss baseball. I miss bullpens.
Life
feels way better with baseball.
And let me tell you something. I have watched more baseball, like, in a 12-hour stretch than I ever have before.
Me too.
And also, the missing crowd hasn't affected anything for me. I love the piped in noise, but you know the one thing that I miss, and it seems silly, but like as soon as it happened, I noticed it right away. You know when there's like a super quick foul ball right to the backstop? I miss the people flinching in the back. I always used to watch the people flinch. It was one of my favorite things. That's one thing.
And have them talk to each other about it, like, oh my god.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one thing that I noticed immediately that there was no crowd.
Have you ever, like, you have no issues with no crowd besides that, Nick?
No, not really. Like, obviously, I'd rather there be a crowd. But in terms of my enjoyment of the game, there's no difference to me.
As long as there's live baseball for me to watch, I couldn't care less if there's no fan.
And you know what I think it is? I think the piped in crowd noise helps me a super ton.
I just think it's funny that I hear the same crowd noise on MLB The Show.
I think the piped in crowd noise helps. Because you know what it is? It's when you notice it would be when they're getting ready to throw the pitch, and the commentators aren't talking.
Yeah.
That's when you'll notice it. That's when you'd notice that it's just dead silent, and you're... And I don't know about you guys. I can't do anything in dead silence. I read while listening to music.
Oh, besides I read in silence.
I cannot do anything in silence. It makes me go crazy.
Other than reading, I have to have something on. Music, the TV.
I go to sleep listening to a comedy special.
Now that I can't do, because then it would just make me laugh.
Well, that's why I listen to comedy specials I already listened to. Mm-hmm. I can't listen to a new one, because then I'll be like...
you don't want to miss anything when you fall asleep.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I'll listen to a bunch of old ones that I've already watched 1,000 times, and it just helps me go to bed. Or a podcast. Oh, and the TV's also on.
TV's always on.
Yeah. So, I cannot do anything in silence, which is why I think the crowd noise helps me.
Real quick, I like how there's like a difference between different broadcasts, though. Like, I was watching the Padres and Arizona Diamondbacks game, and this guy was so good, he had boos instantly when the pitcher threw over to first base.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, you can notice. And it's not. I don't think it's networks. I think it's the stadium. So it's the teams themselves that are doing it.
Yeah, someone doing the noise.
It's someone in, like, the PA or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's so great. Because you'll see, like, some of them, they'll have, like, when they hit a fly ball and people think it's going out, but then they'll have the guy catch it, and then the crowd will go, ah. It's much better than when it first started. It is drastically improved.
How about all the live mics you can pick up now?
That's the best part of it.
It's so nice.
That's easily the highlight of it.
When Stanton hit that absolute bomb, and all you could hear was, yeah, woo, in the background.
And you're like, that's probably Tommy. Yeah. whenever you hear anyone shouting, you're like, ah, it's probably Tommy.
I have another thing from John Sterling and what's her name?
Susan Waldman.
Susan. I write down everything that annoys me that they do. I've listened to like 3 games on the radio now, and all 3 times, they'll pick something up from the dugout, and John, excuse me, why do I have someone talking in my headset? And then Susan goes, oh, I think that it's a live mic from the dugout. All 3 games, it's happened. And he's been shell-shocked each time. Like I don't know. He keeps thinking like
his producers.
His producers are talking in his headset, but it's just the live mics. And all 3 games I've listened to, it just confuses the hell out of him. It's so funny.
Didn't he say he didn't think the balls were juiced?
Yep, he said that people claim the balls were juiced, but he can't feel a difference.
Yeah, that's the most ridiculous thing he's ever said.
I'm going to keep listening so I have more in this list. It's going to be good.
Love him to death. He's like, how old is he now? Like 82? And he's still going strong.
Like walking the dog. I mean, good for him.
Jesus, Tim.
All right, this analogy is getting a little dark.
It's the theme of the podcast.
Can we change it?
Might be the title. Walking the dog one last time.
God, I don't.
Baseball's not going to go away forever.
Yeah, we'll get a new dog next year.
Jesus. Oh my God.
You know what dog we put down? Clint Frazier. Clint Frazier got sent down
Nice job.
Thank you. To whatever you want to call it. Like the second group of people that are also on the Yankees. I don't know what
the
you want to call
AAA training
it.
Site.
Yeah, the secondary training site. And I think it's very temporary. Like I'm talking like a week maybe. I think it's simply just for bullpen.
It better be, man.
But I was shocked when they didn't bring up Montgomery. For the second game, or third game, whatever. Because we bullpened. So, first game of the season was Gerrit Cole, who did phenomenal. It was, and I don't want to say, this is what makes a great pitcher so great. Like a Jacob DeGrom, and a Gerrit Cole.
I thought you said and.
No. What makes him so great is he wasn't pitching his best. And yet he still got 5 innings with only 1 hit.
Complete game, baby.
You know what I mean? Like you could tell that I don't want to say grinding through it because that makes it sound like he wasn't doing well, but he wasn't as dominant as he could be.
Well, and yeah, he was getting roasted on Twitter, and it made me feel like he was struggling. But I look up at the scoreboard, it's one. They have 1 run.
Not only do they have 1 run, they have 1 hit.
Yeah.
It's just that the 1 hit happened to, you know, leave the park.
Yep. So that's what's so special about Cole, is when he isn't at his, like, tip-top shape, he could still do a 1-hit, 5-inning game.
50% of... Well, not 50%. Let's say, like, 75% of Gerrit Cole is better than a lot of other pitchers in the MLB at 100%.
You know what I saw yesterday that was nuts? So we had a come behind victory yesterday. Great game.
Thank God.
Oh, by the way, if you didn't think Yankees Twitter was going to be intolerable throughout this whole season.
Already, man.
Just look at it during, like, the first three innings of that game. Oh my God, is it the worst. But, Zach Britton came in to close it out. He didn't throw one pitch that wasn't a sinker.
He only threw sinkers yesterday?
Only threw sinkers. 100% of his pitches were sinkers. I think he threw 14 pitches, all of them sinkers.
You like your pitch, you like your pitch, I guess.
Granted, he has a great sinker.
If you got it, yeah. Throw it.
But, I mean, Mariano Rivera wouldn't even throw 100% cutters.
That cutter was nasty, man. I missed that.
That cutter was nuts, wasn't it?
Did you hear the story A-Rod told on ESPN? It made no sense.
You
gotta throw it. Throw it, got it. If you have it, throw it. Throw it, got it. Do you remember that?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
He lost his mind telling that story. Maybe it was a different game. No. It was definitely A-Rod. He was talking about one of his teammates telling a story, and like he just completely went off the rails.
I love A-Rod. I love him so much.
Not on ESPN, I don't.
You know who I don't like? John Smoltz. There's not many commentators that I don't like. And even if I don't like them, I kind of respect them because they are all in a whole high-profile spot in a job I would very much enjoy to have. But, like, John Smoltz is not great at his job.
He's pretty unbearable, if you ask me.
Him and Boog Shambi. I can't stand Boog Shambi.
Why do I not know who that is?
Redheaded guy who for some reason is able to mention being redheaded in every single broadcast.
What network?
ESPN.
Oh, but it's not Sunday.
John Shambi. No, he doesn't do Sunday night.
That's probably why. I'm not usually watching.
That's the only time I watch ESPN broadcast.
It's not on Sundays. Or on Sundays. Because I only watch it on Sundays. And that's usually because the Yankees are on it.
Yeah, I only watch it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what
I don't watch Sunday Night Baseball unless the Yankees are on it. It's not my thing. I usually will watch a different game. If the Yankees aren't playing that day. But I love Matt Vasgersian. I love the ESPN booth. I'm a big fan of the ESPN booth. Buster Olney. All of them. But talking about Clint, getting back to Clint. Yeah. I feel so bad for him. Because there's no way he shouldn't be in the MLB.
No, he needs to get traded.
Like, legitimately, trade him. Or play him.
Not this season. We should keep him this season for depth, but next year he's got to be out yet.
Unless he, you know, takes this opportunity and runs with it and takes the left field spot for himself.
You know, and everyone keeps saying that, but he already did that.
Yeah, when last year he pretty much did.
Granted, his defense wasn't great, but when has that ever stopped us from playing Andujar? Like, defense, I understand it's a big part of the game. But the guy hit, like, 12 home runs in, like, 60 or so games.
That was pretty good. 12 home runs in 69 games.
That's ridiculous. That's starters' numbers.
We're taking a player who already had not a below average defense, putting him in a new position, and keeping him in the lineup. As much as I love Andujar, he shouldn't be
That's Frazier's spot. That is Frazier's spot.
Like, come on.
And I like Andujar a lot. But I'm not taking out Frazier for Andujar.
If you're not going to play Frazier and you want Andujar's bat in the lineup, put Stanton in left and DH Andujar.
Well, then there's still no room for Clint.
I know. Like, if they're not going to play Frazier, then just do that.
Oh, yeah.
Don't put a third baseman in left field.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that idea.
Of Andujar in left?
Yeah. I'm not big on it.
He can learn it. Schwarber is serviceable out there.
Yeah, he could definitely learn it, but you got Clint for that spot already.
You have an outfielder at the ready.
I'd rather have Clint Frazier just out there put him than in. Brett Gardner.
I agree with you. I Me don't too. Know why they're not playing Clint Frazier. I mean, he's shown his maturity has improved. His bat has always been there.
He hit a bomb in the exhibition games.
And his defense has been better.
Or the intra-squad games.
So, can we please see Clint Frazier play?
I wish he never had that concussion stuff. Wait, what'd you guys say? I lost you for a second.
No, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, if that didn't happen, maybe he'd be our left fielder right now. But even though that did happen, he should be our left fielder right now. I'm huge. I love Brett Gardner. I think Brett Gardner 100% has a spot on this team. I'm not freaking out like other people are, because I remember last year the same thing pretty much happened. And then he was like, where would you place him in terms of MVP for the Yankees last year? Like third? Fourth?
Top five.
I mean, because who are you putting above him?
He's got to be in the top five.
You're putting DJ above him. You're putting Glaber above him. But then I could argue he's right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I am fully on board with keeping Gardner. Some people were like mad at the contract we gave him. I don't know why. It's a 1 year plus a club option, so I don't know why you would be mad at that deal. I don't think, obviously he would rather be a starter than not, but I don't think Brett Gardner would somehow become a problem if he wasn't starting.
Yeah.
At least platoon him. Because we know Gardner isn't great against, righties. He's not good. He's not great against righties, so play Frazier against the righties. Platoon if you want. But Frazier should be in the lineup more than he's not even on the team right now. So he should be in the lineup more than...
Lefties.
It is lefties, okay.
Lefty pitchers are good against lefty batters.
So
Frazier would be bad against righties. Frazier wants to face the lefties. Frazier's right-handed.
So let's see Frazier play some games this year, please. And more so than not. So alright. So we're going to move on, but before we move on, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
You killed great Austin. That was a great ad. Good ad.
Thank you. I'd said that right now, just this second.
wait, do you guys remember during quarantine when I introduced us to the three stars of the game on Fangraphs?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you have any guesses of who is the star of the game in game one?
Gerrit Cole.
Gerrit Cole was the second star of the game.
Wow.
Ooh.
Stanton was number one.
That's fair.
Do you remember I introduced you to win probability added?
Yeah. I don't remember that one.
Well, for reference, Gerrit Cole had 197 win probability added.
Oh, so how much probability he added with that performance?
Yeah. Okay. Stanton added 218, which is a ton.
Jeez.
But however, guess who is the leader in win probability added in one game this year? I think we've already talked about him. Who's had the most important performance so far this year?
On the Yankees?
Yeah.
Glaber?
Yeah, I was about to say.
With yesterday?
364.
Let's go.
That's so much. That's so much. Britton had 216 for his sinker performance. Yeah, but he only got one star. Tommy Canley was second star of the game yesterday. Glaber Torres.
Tommy Canley should have been, because his spot that he came in.
Yeah.
Tommy Canley got me fired up yesterday. Is there anyone...
Seeing him fired up again was so nice.
Is there anyone that could get you fired up like Tommy Canley?
Yes.
No.
I don't think there is.
Oof.
Are you serious?
You're
putting me on the spot, but like... Many other people. I don't know.
Name one.
Get me fired up in which way? Like, seeing him coming out of the bullpen?
No, more like when he does, performs well, lets out a roar.
Okay. Scherzer?
Scherzer does have a good roar.
Yeah.
I love pitcher roars. I love them. Tanaka has a good one. CeCe was the god at it.
Severino?
Oh my god, Severino.
Yes, I could see one pitcher doing it in slow motion, like out of an ad break, out of a commercial break, and it's Severino.
It is Severino. You know what I love? I love when they keep a pitcher in, like keep a starting pitcher in for like the eighth when maybe they should have taken him out, and then he gets like one out, and then they take him out and... The entire crowd gives him a standing O, and then he tips his cap.
It's one of my favorite things.
So beautiful.
I love that more than anything else. Like, when you're in terms of being at a game.
Yep.
It's just such a great feeling.
Standing up and applauding? Hell yeah. You gotta throw the scorebook underneath your arm to go stand up and clap? Yes. Man, I missed that.
I don't remember. I think it was a Family Guy little cutaway skit where they were at a baseball game and they showed like this stereotypical nerd with a scorecard. A scorebook. And my dad goes, "Oh, well, there's Austin." And I go, "How dare you say I would keep a scorebook at a baseball game? What am I, a little league coach? Why am I keeping. Why? Why do you do that?"
I have one for every professional baseball game I've been at, or MLB game I've been at.
Why?
Because it's sick.
Do you just
keep me really involved in the game?
I guess. You know what keeps me involved in the game? Just looking at it. Just staring at it.
While you're eating your chug jug of chicken nuggets and Mountain Dew.
Grubtub. And hell yeah, because
you gotta tell me it's pretty cool. I can go into my room right now and pull out any Major League Baseball game I've been to and show you exactly what happened at any part of the game.
You know, I could do that too on my phone.
I could do it quicker than you.
The only thing for me, though, if I were to do that, is I might want to stop if the Yankees are getting blown out.
Do they consider that an error, or was that a single?
It says I'm a freaking bored. And yeah, Nick, it is tough to keep going when they're being blown out.
I'm keeping this so when I have Alzheimer's, I can remember how well they played.
That's a roast, man. I mean, I don't know what's so wrong about me doing that. It's a nice little thing.
There's nothing wrong about it. It's
just
dumb.
I'm absolutely flaming you.
No, it's
roasting you. You're charred to a crisp, Tim. I'm degrading every piece of your humanity, but yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just a stupid and dumb thing to do.
Got it. Next. What's next? Come on. Next segment.
So
not being put in the itinerary. 35-41. Tim gets flamed.
So, okay. This offseason, I roasted the Phillies for giving Zach Wheeler that contract. Opening day, actually kind of in the offseason, I made a decision to kind of not take the Cubs in as the second team, but when I'm not watching the Yankees, I'll probably be watching the Cubs, because I drove the Philly last year, and the drive itself was actually kind of fun. So I decided I wanted to go to the Citizens Bank Park. The Angels were coming to town, so I was going to see Trout, Harper. But the point being, Zach Wheeler had a phenomenal pitching performance in his first ever game as a Philly. The thing is, I cannot see that contract working out for the Phillies at all.
How much is it for?
I think he's like 25 a year.
Yeah, and he's injury prone.
That's the issue. The issue is, it's a $118 million deal for 5 years. So when you're Zach Wheeler, who has pitched like for 6 years, and each of them, like none of them were really complete season. And last year was a complete season, but he wasn't good in the first half. It's not a deal I'm willing to do. So the AAV is 23.6 a year. I'm not giving that to Zach Wheeler.
Also, he's what, their third best pitcher?
Yeah,
Arrieta. Yeah.
I think he's probably better than Arrieta at this point.
Yeah, I just have 2016 Arrieta in my head. Always and forever.
What happened to him, man?
He had a sub-1 ERA in the second half.
He was remember when he threw the no-hitter and then the fans celebrated with them on the field?
No, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
The fan jumped out of the crowd and then, like, joined in the huddle.
That's sick.
He got, like, arrested, but yeah, it was kind of sick.
That's worth it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you get arrested, but maybe you spend the night in jail.
Did Arrieta, like, embrace him?
I don't think anyone really noticed, except the security.
Awesome. That's sick. The guy somehow, like, he goes into the clubhouse after the game. He gets a locker. He's starting second base the next day. He just, like, ingratiates himself with the team.
So the reason I brought up Zach Wheeler is I have this list here, and it's ranking the best debut weekends from the offseason acquisitions. And I brought up Zach Wheeler just because I watched the performance and he impressed me. He was number 3 on this list. I want you to try to guess the list order.
Gerrit Cole.
Gerrit Cole is number 1.
Tommy Pham.
No, not number 2.
On the list?
Yeah. Tommy Pham is on the list. He is a hitter. You want me to give you a stat line? Oh, no.
Ah.
Want me to give you a stat line?
Yeah.
He went 4 for 12 with 2 home runs and 3 RBIs.
2 home runs. I don't have anything.
It's Marcelo Zuna.
Oh.
Right. Three I mentioned was Zach Wheeler. Mm-hmm. 4, I'll give you the stat line. 4 for 18, 1 home run, 4 RBIs. I'm sorry, I think I said 4 for 18. 4 for 8.
I got nothing.
Plays for the Reds.
Moustakas?
Yep.
He's got Corona, though.
5, you'll never get. 5 was CJ Krohn with the Tigers. Went 4 for 11. 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, 2 walks. 6 was Didi. I think that's a little low.
That is pretty low.
He was like their only offense for a while. For like the first 2 games. The third game, they had a bunch of offense, but they got demolished. Like, the Marlins. The Marlins played well, by the way.
Huh. Which is so, probably why they wanted to keep going. Even though 7, it was, you know.
7 was Dylan Bundy with the Angels.
He had a great game.
He 6 2/3, 3 hits, 1 run, 7 strikeouts against the Astros. Not the Astros. Who did the Angels A's. Play? The A's.
The A's.
A lot better than the next starter for the Angels.
The article, I will bring that up shortly. The article actually mentioned, it goes, could Bundy follow in Jake Arrieta's footsteps as pitchers who put it all together after leaving Baltimore? 8, they put Tommy Pham. 4 stolen bases for Tommy Pham.
That's sexy.
Jeez.
The most in the MLB, and so much so that second place is 1. So, 3 runs, 1 RBI, 4 walks, and 4 stolen bases. 9 was Madison Bumgarner. He went 5 2/3, 4 strikeouts, 3 runs. Not great, but not bad.
Lost to my boy, Sheriff Paddock.
I love Chris Paddock. 10, Hyunjin Ryu for the Blue Jays went 4 2/3, gave up 3 runs, 4 strikeouts. 11, Josh Donaldson. He only went 1 for 10, but he had 4 walks.
Jeez.
Yasmani Grandal only went 1 for 5, 3 walks though. Starling Marte went 4 for 13. 2 runs in RBI. Edwin Encarnacion only got 1 hit and 12 at-bats, but that 1 hit was a bomb. Nick Castellanos went 3 for 11. And then Mookie Betts is last on the list. He went 3 for 20, 2 runs, 1 RBI, 1 walk. He also had a 2 strikeout game, which... how many times last season... do you think he had a 2 strikeout game?
3
times.
Okay, 20. You guys went really low there. but he's not much of a strikeout guy. So he didn't do great in his first weekend, but it's a weekend. So I don't think there's any reason for Dodger fans to like freak out. There might be a reason for Angel fans to freak out, though. As Shohei Ohtani has an ERA of infinity.
And beyond.
Nice.
Don't care. He just came back from Tommy John surgery. And he's good. MVP of the year this year.
Is this the end of Shohei Ohtani?
No.
Imagine.
Is this the end of James Paxton?
No.
Why? He had a bad start.
Listen, I'm not saying it was. I'm asking. I'm creating a talking point here, like if it's first take. Is it the end of Shohei Ohtani? I'm not saying it is. And even if it was, it wouldn't be the end of Shohei because he'll always be a hitter.
You just DH him now.
The thing is,
I think this is a non-starter. Doesn't even have a place as a topic. I wouldn't have brought it up. I don't even think it's that important.
No, the only reason I brought it up was the history of the arguments. And my favorite text I sent over the weekend was Miguel Andujar could definitely do that.
Yeah, he could get 5 runs put on him and get no outs.
He'd honestly have to try, though. Like, I bet you he would get at least an out.
Yeah, he would. I mean, Chris Davis, like, struck a few people out. Steve Wilkerson has a save.
You know what's kind of funny?
What's that?
That we recorded as many outs as Shohei Ohtani this weekend.
And gave up less runs.
This is true.
We gave up less runs and recorded as many outs as Shohei Ohtani did. Now, I'm having fun here, mainly because I know it annoys Tim. But I do not think it's that big of a worry for the Angels.
It's his first start in just about 2 years. He'll just need to shake off the rust and get rid of the nerves.
What does Baseball Reference say for Ohtani?
Bad. Like, in terms of, like... I want to know if you guys agree with this thing. I've been saying it for a little while. But I'm kind of over the win-loss record for pitchers. In terms of, like, when they show, like, the stats and, like, Cohen will go over his scouting report. But I'm over the win-loss record. I think it should be replaced by the quality start to non-quality start record.
That'd be pretty cool. But I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Well, you wouldn't even need the non-quality starts because you'd see starts and then quality starts.
Yeah.
Maybe quality start percentage would be nice.
I would just like to see... Because win-loss, I just...
Oh, it's completely irrelevant.
It could be the team's fault that you lost because maybe you held them to 2 runs, but your team couldn't score. Or...
Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, exactly. Or it could even be like you had a good start, but you got taken out a little earlier than what is it? How many innings you got to go? 5 or 6?
6 for a quality start.
Mm-hmm. Was it six innings, less than three or less runs or something?
No, that's for a quality start. But in terms of like what would qualify as a win?
Oh, that's 5.
5. Yeah. Okay. So, if you go for it's more of a postseason thing because you in the regular season you go over 5 if you're having a good game. But there could be or like with Loaisiga, granted he wouldn't have gotten the win there, but in terms of how many innings he pitched and he was doing as an opener, so. I wonder if they'll ever have a stat for openers.
I mean...
What would it be?
With But, like, with as many openers as there's... I'm not saying that correctly. There's a lot of openers coming out now, and, like, teams are adding them to their rotation, so, I mean...
Did you just slap yourself? Kind of stats.
No, I'm like... It's like my hands. I'm just thinking. Yeah. Like, I talk with my hands.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I thought you slapped yourself. That would have been really
funny. No. There's going to have to be some kind of opener stat. I just don't know what it would be. I think for that, teams are going to have to start listing players as openers.
I think that should be a thing sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, I don't know how long it'll be until we get a fully dedicated, this guy's only an opener.
True.
Because that won't be Chad Green. I think Chad Green is our best opener, but I don't think we'll see a time where he is fully dedicated, only an opener.
Who would always come after him? Was that Nestor? Or Tarpley?
Yes.
It was Nestor.
Nestor.
Yeah. Nestor Cortez Jr. was the perfect guy to take over for Chad Green.
Because you'd get usually like 2 innings, then some guy would eat up like 4, and then you'd go 1-1-1.
Yeah.
So, I love the opener. I love the whole idea of it. And I don't know how far it's going to evolve to, but I think there will be a point where every team uses an opener once every 5 days. Do you remember how much the Rays got trashed for the idea?
Yeah.
People hate change, I swear to God. Like, you bring up a new idea in baseball and people freak out. One rule, though, that I think has gotten the correct amount of criticism is the 10th inning man on second base rule.
I can't wait till that's gone.
I hate that idea. It's not working out.
It's just so annoying.
I think it is working out. Has a game gone past the 10th inning?
Well, I mean, working out in terms of time, yeah, but it doesn't feel legitimate.
Yeah. It's just...
I don't hate it, man. I don't.
I cannot stand... I'm cool with the idea starting, like, 12th inning.
Yeah, I'll take that concession.
Yeah.
I will be okay with that. But 10th inning... Let's play some baseball. I don't want to get into 14th inning stretches. But I can't have a 10th inning illegitimate win.
Yeah, I completely understand why it's a thing. It's just... I just don't like it.
Yeah. So, that's what we got for you today. We hope you enjoyed, and we hope to see you next episode. Go Yankees.
Go Bills. Go Yankees.
Garrett Cole is the best pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Elevator going up. In the gleaming corridor of the 51st floor. The money can be made if you really want some more. Executive decision, a clinical precision. Jumping from the windows filled with indecision. I get good advice from the advertising world. Yeah.